Today I'm going to do a little story. So there once was a man who was not very happy, and he decided to buy a boat. And he decided to sail around the world. And he still wasn't happy after doing that, so he decided to buy a cottage up in the mountains on the lake. And he lived there for a while, but he still wasn't happy. So he decided he was going to travel around the world. So he went on an airplane. And he traveled into lots of different places and countries, but he still wasn't happy. So he decided, after many tormenting days and times, he decided that something had to change. And he gave his life to God. And everything
changed. Look at that, Carrie.
He became happy, and he found what he was looking for. He just needed God in his life.
I was not expecting that either.
Okay. Dear God, thank you for these kids. Watch over them this week and bless them as they go to school. Thank you for their lives and their smiles. Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
How did that happen?
That was good. All right. We are in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bible, or look around on the pew there, we have pew Bibles, you want to turn to Colossians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And we are going through the book of Colossians. Remember, we've done James, we've done Ephesians. Now we're going to do Colossians. And quick review. Remember, this was written in 60 or 61 AD. This is one of four letters that Paul wrote from prison in Rome. And he's been there for a while. And each letter that he wrote was for a purpose. Paul didn't just say, you know, I think I'll write them a letter. Paul had a reason for the letters that he wrote. And he wasn't able to go there, so he wrote a letter, and he would send it with a trusted servant, a trusted fellow Christian, and he would help them understand something that was happening within their church, within their community, within the broader context of the culture they were living in. Because remember, at this time, they don't have a Bible. What does God want me to do? Well, I'll go and read the Bible. Well, I didn't have that yet. Paul's letters have been circulating for a while, so the Gospels, some of them, so they'd been able to do some reading, but there weren't books yet. It was a challenge. So Paul would write a letter, and they would read it again and again. And they would copy it and send that letter out to other churches. And Colossians is written to address the idea that had crept into the church, which was that Jesus was a nice guy, but he wasn't really God. And it had creeped into the church, and people were kind of questioning who Jesus really is. And do I really need Jesus? And is he really enough? And Paul writes to talk about that. They're living in a culture, remember we talked about this, a culture that was very evil, very degenerate. We think we live in the worst of times. They were living in the worst of times as well. And I don't think times are any worse. We mentioned this last week. They're not any worse now. You just get updates on your phone about the news. Every hour, on the hour, constantly we're reminded of how bad things are happening all around the world. And they were happening then as well. And so Paul writes Colossians to encourage them, to bolster their faith, to get them back on what is truth, and give them something to hang on to and to follow. And that this letter really talks about the deity, the supremacy of who Jesus Christ really is. That's the focus of that. So we've already done Colossians 1. We did verses 1 through 6 where Paul greets them. Remember, he always asks that God will give them grace and peace. And he says, I've heard about you and your love for all people everywhere. And you're loving people because you have the hope of heaven, is what he tells them. You've heard the good news. We're going to start in verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You have learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. Epaphras had studied with Paul in Ephesus and had gone to the city of Colossae, and he had started that church there. And then when Paul was in jail and in need, the church had sent Epaphras to help him out. They knew Paul needed help and support, and they supported and sent Epaphras to help him, and Paul thanks them for that. And Paul says, he has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. And my prayer for this church is always that we are known by the love that we show for each other and for the wider community. And I think we are. He goes on to say in verse 9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. How many of you could use some endurance and some patience? May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. One of the ways that I learn best is by observing and watching how somebody does something. I can read about it, and some people learn best by reading. My son learns best by hearing. He only has to hear it once. Pretty much it's there. Drives me crackers. Gave him piano lessons. Meh. You know, he'd hear it on the radio. He'd play the piano. You know, me with my sight reading, I would practice for hours. My daughter learns a lot the same way. Auditory. I learn best by watching you do it. And then I try it myself with you watching. And then I can get better and better at something. And so Paul is giving them some skills and letting them watch him, modeling some things for them to know. And I think today I want to talk about prayer and how Paul prays for them. We talked through the Lord's Prayer, didn't we? And it's an awesome prayer. And yet there's so much more to prayer than just those words right there. Paul talks about some things that that I've read that often can kind of come down to two categories. We get down to two bare bones things often, don't we? To know the will of God, what do you want me to do? What do I do now? And then the power to do it. Once I know, sometimes what I need is some courage, some faith, some power to step out and do what God revealed to me. Dr. Dunham, in his commentary on Colossians, put it this way. I'm going to read this slowly. God's will is, he put that in capital letters, I-S, God's will is. He has a plan for the universe and for our lives. Discerning God's will is our task, and that is not always easy. If we give in to pain, hopelessness, and helplessness that we feel, we give in to those gnawing doubts that haunt us as we pass through our struggles, conflict, that pain or disillusionment, and that despair. And if we give into that with that superficial saying, have you heard this? Well, it must be God's will. Have you heard that? Well, it must be God's will. He said, if you're using that statement, you're using a straw bridge. It's not going to support you. It's not going to hold you steady while you go through those debilitating depths that we're often plunged to. Because those can be very shallow words. And they don't necessarily affirm the almightiness of God like we think they do. Well, it's God's will. The will of God is often shrouded in darkness to our eyes at first, clouded sometimes in ambiguity, he says. But the will of God comes through silence as well as speaking. He marks his communication with us in prayer as we struggle to discern his will. We talk. We listen, we reflect, we wait. And graciously the response comes. Not according to our table, he says, nor in the form or the mode of our design, maybe. But it's always in God's timing and in his way. You ever wondered how you should be praying as you face the decisions of your life? Watch Paul and we'll learn. I'm going to watch him, observe him, and then practice it myself. The first thing Paul asks for is, we ask God to give you a complete understanding, complete knowledge of his will. It's okay to ask that. How many times have you come to a place where you're not even sure what to pray for? There's a series of books we talked about before, the Mitford series, about that pastor in North Carolina, and it's fictional. But he and his wife, when they get to that point, what are we going to do? We'll pray the prayer that never fails. Thy will be done. I want to know what your will is, and I'm willing to wait and hear from you to figure it out. That's the first thing I'm going to ask for, is knowledge of what he wants me to do. And the second thing is, give me spiritual wisdom and understanding. Because just because I've heard it doesn't necessarily mean I know exactly how to make it happen. You ever had someone tell you that? Well, what you need to do is, and they're right, but implementing that advice can be challenging. And Paul says, ask for it. Ask him. I need spiritual wisdom, and I need understanding so I know where to go from here. I'm at that fork in the road. What am I going to do? We ask this because Paul tells us very clearly right after that, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce good fruit of every kind. Sometimes I'm so concerned with I'm doing exactly the right thing, it can kind of suck the joy out of me. But Paul says, if I'm seeking God, if I'm trying my best to understand what he wants me to do, the gracious blessing is what I do will honor God. That path may weave a little bit from time to time. But what I do when I'm seeking him will bring him honor. And the bonus is, Paul says, you get to know God better and better. The more time I spend asking and considering and thinking and reflecting, I get to know God better and better, Paul says. I love that part. How often do we in human thinking get to that point and we ask God, this or this? Do you want me to do option A or option B? Did we box God in when we're asking for his will? Maybe God wants to have you do option G or K. We like yes or no answers, don't we? Right or wrong, yes or no. But I think of it like this, you know, God, again, the perfect parent, and we try to emulate that. You ever taken your kid into Baskin Robbins? I loved Baskin Robbins. We had one just like 8 blocks down the street, way too close. And you'd get there and 31 flavors. You know, you'd walk by those glass cases. I want mutton huckleberry. Oh, chocolate mousse. I love that one, you know. And you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed by all of those choices. And your mom and dad would say, whatever you want, you pick one. Any one of these is fine. Which one would you like? Sometimes you'd pick one and you like the choice. And other times you'd take it and, you know, I'm not doing that one again. Rainbow sherbet. You know, I look good in the case, but, yeah, you know, it's not chocolate. And I think sometimes, oh, sorry, Don. It's out there for someone. And I think sometimes we need to see that God does that with us as well. What would you like to do? You're gifted to do these 5 things. Which one of those would you like to do? Any one of those 5 will bring God glory and honor. Because my heart is seeking him. Now, there are times when it boils down to right or wrong, doesn't it? I really like that guy. Should I have that affair? Well, the answer is no. There's not 3 options there. There's no. You know, so sometimes it is yes or no. But a lot of times when we're seeking God's will and wondering what to do next, don't box him in. What would you like me to do? What would you like to do? The Lord says. If it's in my will, if you're seeking me, seeking to honor me, if you're putting me first, then your actions are going to follow your heart. Maybe the ice cream example is simplistic, but I want us to remember to think that God isn't limited. And when we're seeking his will and waiting to hear his response, we're going to hear it. My uncle used to do a sermon, do the next right thing. What's the next right thing? I just can't go forward. I just feel overwhelmed. What's the next right thing to do? Well, I got to get up and make breakfast. Okay, get up and make breakfast. I'd rather stay in bed. What needs to be done? All right, move into the next right thing. And then trust that God's going to nudge you where you need to go. You're going to hear something that goes, well, you know, I don't think that. You're going to listen to wise companions who love the Lord as well. You're going to consider their opinions. And then you're going to bring them back to the Lord. Because oftentimes, when people ask our advice about God's will, we really know what to pray for them, do we? You ever had someone go to you and say, I really want this. Will you pray that God blesses that? And inside you go, oh, I don't know. Maybe. How do we pray for someone else? Paul says it this. We pray, verse 11, that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. And sometimes that's what I can pray for you. May God grant you the endurance and the patience you need as you seek his will. May you find the power that you need to go forward with it. I don't know exactly what it is. God doesn't tell me what he wants you to do. He tells you. I'm going to pray that God will strengthen me and you with his glorious power, giving us patience and endurance to walk the road. And Paul models the end of it as well. We pray all of this. May you be filled with joy, he says, always thanking the Father. And I can pray that for you as well as for myself. Strength and patience and endurance, and may you have a thankful heart. Thankful hearts have to follow requests. Always thanking the Father. Remember, Paul says that in Philippians. He's in chapter 4. And he says to them, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. I don't go to God as the vending machine with my list, like at Christmas time for Santa, and say, I could really use this and this and this and this and this and this. Thank you, amen. Thankful hearts, gratitude, is what lines us back up to where we need to be. Maybe you've encountered people who you helped and you felt like they weren't grateful. You ever had that happen? Tell me I'm not the only one. You go way out of your way even. And it doesn't feel like there's any gratitude. How inclined are you to help them the next time? Gets harder, doesn't it? Because gratitude reminds me of who I am and whose I am and what the big picture really is. Gratitude gives me perspective. At the times when I get low, what's that song say? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Okay, and it's on. Sometimes being thankful reminds me of what's happened in the past, and I can have faith for what I'm asking for in the future. Thankful hearts, when seeking God's will, matter. And if you live in America, and you have a home, and you have one friend, you're probably ahead of the majority of the world right now, just so you know. And when I can't think of anything else to be thankful for, I can be thankful for that. Showing gratitude changes it from help me, which is important. Sometimes that's all we can get out. It's okay to just say help me. When you don't know what to ask for, Paul writes in Romans that the Holy Spirit, that's his job. I get here on my knees and I say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I don't even know what to do. I'm distraught. And God says, the Holy Spirit's job is to go in between the two of us and explain to God what's really deep in my heart that I can't even get out. But sometimes help me has the whiny attitude, doesn't it? And gratitude takes me from, come on, please, to blessed me. How blessed I am. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people, Paul writes, who live in the light. He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. And there are times when the only thing that makes all of this worthwhile is to know this is not all there is. Because if this is all there is, raise your hand if you think you're getting ripped off. This is not all there is. Those of us who live in the kingdom of light, who have accepted the Lord as our Savior, know that what's coming is going to beat this all to pieces. A new heaven, a new earth, a place with no sin and no regret and no burdens. And I am grateful to be in that kingdom and be ready for what's coming. Because his son purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Prayer does many things for us. In the first 13 verses, Paul said very clearly, it gives us a knowledge of God's will, spiritual wisdom and understanding. It strengthens me with his glorious power. It fills me with endurance and patience. And it makes me thankful. I don't know about you, but that's a model that I want to follow. So you're wondering what to do? Colossians 1. Find Colossians 1 and follow that model. Because we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Especially right here, don't we? We do. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you love us so much. You want to hear everything that's on our hearts. That, Lord, when we come to you and we talk about stuff, you're never tired of listening to us. You don't roll your eyes. You don't sigh. But you care. Lord, we're asking you for a complete understanding of your will in our lives, in the life of our church. Will you give us spiritual wisdom and understanding? Will you fill us with your power so that we can have patience and endurance? May we always be thankful. We love you. We thank you for this day, for this time. It's in your son's name we get to pray. Amen. Would you be standing? I pray that this week, as you encounter God, you will be able to follow a model that brings you to a point of thankfulness. Go in the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
And it was like kind of like an aha moment too, because I just, of course, I've had another pastor tell me, he'll keep blessing you if you keep listening to him. He'll keep blessing you even more if you keep listening to him, and he'll give you such an abundance.
Yes.
But he's going to give you just enough.
Daily bread.
Exactly.
Daily.
Unbelievable.
Daily.
Daily.
Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Okay. Why?